Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
This program was recorded earlier so that we'd have time for a solo by Sammy Davis Jr.
Testify, but you just can't win, because I'm here to tell you, you guilty as sin. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge.
One ringy dink. A gracious good afternoon. Is this the party who has answered my call? The Central Intelligence Agency? Good. This is Miss Tomlin of the phone company. Well, of course I know your phone was off the hook. Isn't it amazing the way we can still make it ring?
NBC. Beautiful downtown Burbank. Oh, hello, Governor Rockefeller. Oh, no. I don't think we could get Mr. Nixon to stand still for a socket to me.
Socket to me?
The past decade, we gave new meanings to old words and phrases.
I get it. Hey, once when we said, that's my bag, we were claiming our luggage.
That's right. I think you're onto it, Milhouse. Let's hear a little of some of the other language changes that occurred in the 60s.
I can remember when soul was something everybody had.
It used to be that grass was something you paid a kid $2 to mow.
Freak out. There's a sign that told you the circus sideshow was closed for lunch.
A bad trip was when it rained on your vacation.
Turn on was something you did to a radio. Did things to radios.
The fuzz was something that grew on peaches and teenagers.
A little pot was something to boil an egg in.
Remember when the only person who put you down was your babysitter?
And an upper was a cheap Pullman ticket.
And a bad scene was something you'd walk out of a play for.
Very interesting, but thoroughly supercilious.
State player on 720 WGN. So Saturday Night Live may have debuted on NBC in October 1975, but much of its roots originated from the network's Laugh-In, which premiered January 22nd, 1968. Surrounded by sets decorated with go-go dancers, cocktail parties, and joke walls, a young, cute, happy, and fun cast delivered a new blueprint for generating laughter. Ronan Martin's Laugh-In, which originally ran from 68 to 73, is getting a star-studded 50th anniversary tribute on Netflix, premiering this Tuesday, May 14th. It's called Still Laughing, The Stars Celebrate, and it'll include Laughing cast members Lily Tomlin, Joanne Worley, as well as director, producer, and creator George Schlatter. Now, throughout his long and successful career as a producer and writer, George has been responsible for hundreds of hours of television series and specials. He, of course, changed the face of television when he created and produced Laughing. And to talk about this legendary series, George Schlatter joins us tonight. Good evening, George.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for the nice word.
Absolutely. Thrilled to have you join us tonight. And, you know, before we talk about Laugh-In and this upcoming Netflix special, I want to step back a bit and talk about how you got into television. Your family had more of a musical background, and music was a big part of your early life.
Yeah, my mother was a concert violinist, my aunt was a concert pianist, and I was the youngest singer with the St. Louis Municipal Opera Company.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and from a musical perspective, you know, you were also exposed early on to live entertainment and variety acts, and that quickly translated into your love of television and the live nature of delivery to viewers.
Well, I got lucky. That was what it was. I think I failed at everything else. No, it was like... I was doing the Dinah Shore Chevrolet show when she went into color, and Dinah wanted to do more comedy, and so I became the producer of the Dinah Shore Chevy show when I was about 20 years old, and then I just got lucky.
Well, you first
That's pretty much it. You got to put a large amount of luck in my resume.
Well, you first worked for MCA, booking bands and acts, which kind of led you to various jobs, obviously, in Vegas, so that's how you got your foot into show business. But that Dinah Shore Chevy show that you were talking about, that show was like live theater every week. It was like 39, you know, right now, well, what are we doing? 10 episodes, 7 episodes, 13 episodes. It was 39 live shows a year.
That's right. That's right. And then 13 non-Dinas. And they were the show when Dinah had a week off to rest.
Ah, the summer
and
shows.
I got started doing the non-Dinas, and then Dinah wanted to do more comedy, and I had worked with all of the comics in Vegas and at Ciro's on the Frontier and so forth. And so I was the logical choice to come in and bring some comedy. And it was all the Still Silvers and, you know, Danny Thomas and Bob Hope and all of that. So it was a long and bumpy road that led me to your station in Chicago.
That's funny. You know, and that show, though, you know, it must have laid the groundwork for you as a producer, because you got to, you know, you got to put your arms around that show and work with a lot of the greats besides Dinah in the show every single week. But that must have laid the groundwork for, you know, how you produced other shows over the next five decades.
Well, it did. It was that, and then my minimal attention span counted for the brevity.
Okay.
But it was just, television was all the same. Pretty much everybody was doing the same show, and I kind of got bored with it, and I had all of these friends of mine who were working saloons and nightclubs and comics, you know, comedy clubs. And I collected them all, and we put them all together into one huge pile of laughter.
You did. No, you absolutely did. After that show, and by the way, you were producing, you kind of brought your love of the music business and television together when you produced the Grammys for years.
Yes, I did the best on record. Boy, you did a lot of research, didn't you?
I certainly did.
I'm impressed with me. So all of that led into this, and then the accident played a large part in everything. And NBC had the whatever it was, the they were going to do the comedy. Oh God, it was a celebration. It was a big event that they have on NBC, and they didn't have anybody to put on the show. So I came in with an idea to put this collection of unusual, bizarre, talented, and funny people. We put them all together into one group. NBC looked at it and said, "This isn't a television show." I said, "Well, you laughed, and the audience is brighter than you are." So, and so we put it all together into these little bits and pieces, and they put it on the air really because they didn't have anything else to put on. And it happened, and the audience liked it before the network did.
Well, I was going to say,
so we got lucky.
This was a special that came out. They did it as a special at first in 67. And I know, you know, it was Rowan and Martin's laugh. And I know you knew Dan and Dick for years before that show. There was definitely magic with them. But why did you choose them?
Well, the show was originally designed, did not have a host. It just happened. And Timex, Jim Ellis at Timex, said he would do the show, but he wanted to have a host. So I'd worked with Dan and Dick, and so we went to them. They wore tuxedos, and they were a little older than the rest of the people, and they became the center. They became the post around which everything kind of revolved. And they were older, and they liked the idea of all of these young comics who were character comics. Artie Johnson did voices, and Ruth Buzzy did all of these characters, and Lily Tomlin did characters. Well, the design of this show, with all of these bits and pieces and brief little vignettes, was perfect for the talent that did multiple characters. So Lily Tomlin could do 6, 8, 10 characters in one show, so could Ruth Buzzy and Artie Johnson. And but it was a bizarre collection of people with these little bursts of crazy things.
You know, you talk about sponsors, and some of our younger listeners might not really get that, but I mean, the sponsors drove the car, man. They drove the train. If you had to please them in whatever you were doing, really for the first 20 plus years of television, it was all about the sponsor.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And but this, for the sponsors, we could do sponsor jokes, and we could do jokes, integrated the sponsors into the show, and it broke a lot of rules. We had rules then just would go on for days, and a woman by the name of Carolyn Raskin invented much of the editing techniques that allowed us to do laughing with these little short pieces, because we didn't have the technology that we have today. And so we just put it together. She put it together in these little bursts. And we ran it for the network, and they said, but that's not a television show. We said, no, but you laughed, and the audience is brighter than you are. So they put it on, and nothing happened because there were no names on the show. You know? Right. It was all just these little young character people. But it caused quite a stir, and eventually when it went on the air, after 3 or 4 weeks, it just kind of exploded. And the audience was ready for something new and unique, and nothing had happened other than just pretty much theater and nightclub style of comedy. And so when this came on, the audience was waiting for something different, and this was it.
Yeah, that was it. Well, and you were up against, I was looking at what you were up against at that time, and you pretty much were in the same Monday night time slot for the entire time, which is pretty unusual,
yes,
too.
That was a big battle we had with NBC. NBC said they wanted to put it on later so there wouldn't be as many problems because we had trouble with censors and sponsors and so forth. Sure. And I just wouldn't do it later, so it stayed on Monday night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it was appointment television.
It was. You were up against Gunsmoke and Here's Lucy. I mean, big ratings.
Well, see, the one other thing, it was Gunsmoke and Lucy were number one and number two.
Right.
And NBC had nothing to put on Monday night at 8 o'clock.
No. And Jeannie was your lead-in. I think Jeannie.
Cannon fodder. Yeah. They put us on knowing that nothing would happen, but they had nothing else that they wanted to put on that they were willing to sacrifice. So we went on the air. And nobody really gave us much of a glance, even though I had no hope at all. But after the third week or so, people began to talk about it. And then Sammy Davis came on and did Here Come the Judge. And
exploded.
It just took off.
Yeah, it did. Even though, you know, you talk about how edgy and contemporary that show was, it looked very current, of course, for the time. But it also seems like you took some inspiration from earlier variety shows, some of the vaudeville shows, when you were putting this together, because it was such a mishmash of talent.
Yeah, it was. It was. But I'd grown up and worked a lot in saloons with the comics that were doing it, you know. But they were all stand-up comics, but we didn't have any way at that point to put them together. So we put them all together, and we taped and taped and taped, and then edited. Carolyn Raskin edited all of that together, and it came out as television for the blind, but for the attention challenged.
Oh yeah.
But it was a delight to do because we came into the studio, and we could do anything we wanted to, and for as long as it worked. And then we came in with a big script, and we would tape everything, and then Carolyn Raskin would put it all together. And some of the early shows were a real adventure, and nobody could really understand what we were doing, including me. But it was just my own short attention span and a wonderful British writer by the name of Digby Wolfe. And then when you took Artie Johnson and Ruth Buzzy and Joanne Worley and Goldie Hawn and Lily Tomlin, those people, and you put them all into the studio, then we would come in with a script, and then we would also play. If anything happened, we kept it in. So when we got all through, it was 1 hour of just a bunch of adult children.
Mayhem, absolutely. And you know, I was thinking, too, about the times of this thing, because, you know, 1968, Vietnam was at the forefront. President Johnson, I'm not running for president again. Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy assassinated. You were kind of providing a much-needed break from all that was happening around us.
Well, the strange thing is, the new show that we did, the Still Laugh and the collection of the anniversary, the same issues we were talking about in 1966, 67, 68, 69 exist today. An unpopular war, an unpopular president, all of that, we haven't fixed anything. So everything that we did then relates to today. And since nobody was doing comedy about it, and since we didn't do anything long enough for everybody to get really nervous, we went on relatively unnoticed because we were cannon fodder. We were just a show that they were putting on the air until they could get a real show ready.
right.
So we went on, and we would come into the studio, and we would tape till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And then Carolyn would go downstairs and just put all of this together. and it got on the air usually at the last minute. And before they figured out what we were doing, the audience figured out that they liked it, and so it just took off, and the numbers became astronomical.
They
couldn't believe it was getting the ratings it got.
No, and there's never going to be any show like that. I mean, you're getting 50 million people watching a show like that. You could never do that today. I mean, that itself is an era gone by.
Well, they would never let it happen. I mean, we did the show with very little parental supervision, and so we would come in and we would tape, and if Artie Johnson came in with a character, we'd put it on, and sometimes when we didn't have anything ready, Artie would stand at the piano and make up a song, and Ruth Buzzy would come in and do just a character, and we would then interview Lily Tomlin as a 5-year-old,
right?
And then we would have Goldie. We would put Goldie out there and give her complicated speeches, and when she got screwed up, that was what we used.
That was Golden. That was Golden.
That was Goldie, It was an adventure. We did. It was an adult playpen, and fortunately it worked. And by the time it took off and we got these huge, huge numbers, then the network couldn't say anything about it, you know, because this is 50 years ago. I was arrogant. I mean, I'm arrogant now, but if you can imagine me with a 50 share, forget about
it. Yeah, right. Exactly. As a 30-something guy doing this, of course. You know, and the show had a really, as I said, a really 60s look, but you also featured, and I always found this fascinating, even when I watched it as a kid, you did have the older entertainers on there. I mean, Jack Benny was on there. John Wayne was on there. I mean, but, you know, it kind of mixed it all together, and it probably gave them a little bump in their careers as well, being on Laugh-In.
Well, the fact is that they were doing the same things over and over and over again, and I knew a lot of those people from when I worked in saloons. And some of them we would just grab in the hall. John Wayne we got, and he says, "I'm not going to do that show." And then we put that on the air.
That's great. That's
and then once people saw it and realized how much fun we were having, they wanted to be a part of it. Then we got everybody we wanted. Everybody in show business came on the show to do these little tiny bits and pieces. So we could do a whole guest shot with somebody. We could use up maybe 30 minutes of their time.
Yeah, yeah.
And get enough material for 4 shows, you know?
To you, what were and I know one of them in my own head here, but what were the top 3 moments of the series that you would put at the top of the list? Like, these were like this is when you just high-fived other people in the office while you're watching the show. Like, this is the moment. What are the top 3 to you?
One of them was when Lily Tomlin came on and did the telephone operator. Mm-hmm. And she had done the character, but had never dressed it up and put it in a set. And she came out and did that one ringy-dingy thing.
Yeah.
And I said, "Lily, you will not believe, when you come off stage, your life will change," because I was so sure of that character. So Ruth Buzzy came on with a character like that. Artie Johnson came on, and Lily Tomlin and Goldie. But those moments were, and when they say male moments, that's what it was. It was a moment.
Yeah.
So that, and I think undoubtedly when Richard Nixon came on and said "Sock It to Me," just changed television, because at that point no presidential candidate had ever appeared on a comedy show.
No.
Now you can't keep them off, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But they came on and then he did "Sock It to Me," and they weren't going to air it. But by the time they found out we'd done it, it had already been on the air.
That's awesome. So, I love that. Ask for forgiveness later, right?
What happens is television now is so careful. They've got so many people and so many executives and so many performers and producers on each show that there isn't the freedom for accident.
Isn't that crazy?
It was an accident.
But isn't that crazy to you when you think about that? Like, how far we've come, of course, and, you know, how strict, obviously, the rules were in the 50s. I mean, you couldn't even put a man and a woman in the same bed together. And then you had all this edginess in the 60s and 70s, and now we're back to that same stuffy, there's just nothing as edgy unless you're paying for it, unless you're paying for a subscription to HBO or Netflix or somebody else, where you can get that edginess.
There's so much that now. the language and the subject matter and so forth is just there. We're used to it.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
At that point, we weren't used to it. But the same thing, when you watch this Best of Laughing, when you watch this Still Laughing, you see that same kind of humor exists today, and we kind of hunger for it, you know?
Yeah.
You get a little of it on Saturday Night Live, but even that, the pieces run longer, you know? And Lorne Michaels was one of the writers on Laughing.
I remember.
He brought him down from Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
And on my wall, when you walked into my office, it said, if it runs more than 30 seconds, it better be funny.
That's great. That's a great rule.
Lorne always kind of resented that sign because his pieces ran longer than that.
Of course. Well, but still, when you mention SNL, you know, whatever, Mad TV, Living Color, Second City TV, you know, you have to... I don't think any series has matched in terms of hyper speed, outrageousness, offbeat sensibility than Laughing.
Well, true, partially because of the characters we had. You know, they were so bright and so creative and so inventive. And then partially because of the time when everybody was nervous. And then, see, we were taping that stuff sometimes in the middle of the night. We taped some of that 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, the stuff with the joke wall, you know,
yeah,
that we would do maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. And we had very little parental supervision at that hour, so we would do whatever we wanted and then put it on the air. And usually it went on the air often that same night.
That's crazy. That's even crazier.
There was no time for them to fix it, you know?
That's great. And that is
somehow or another, we've gotten so many rules now. We don't have the same walls as far as taste. Which is unfortunate,
yeah.
And language, so that's unfortunate. We obeyed all the rules, but very selectively.
That's true. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I can't wait to see this. Again, it's called Laughing, Still Laughing, The Stars Celebrate. It'll include original cast members Lily Tomlin, Joanne Worley, as well as our guest tonight, George Schlatter. And it's a star-studded 50th anniversary tribute that's going to be on Netflix, all in tribute to Laughing. George, I have to tell you, what a great pleasure it has been spending some time with you.
I've enjoyed this. Listen, take a look at the show and let me know what you think.
I'll do that.
You got to be sure you're sitting down and shut down the phone.
Focused.
Don't have anything in it. Don't tell your children not to interrupt you and kind of pay attention to it. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm sure
even,
I will, yeah.
Hopefully you'll understand a lot of it.
I'm sure I will. Can't wait to see it, sir.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back after this on 720 WGN.